Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025, 1063, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Caroline Fenton, Derek Mason, Willie Donick, we're out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern ahead of the Predators matchup with Vancouver tonight. And this stretch between the All-Star break and the trade deadline has been so critical for this Nashville Predators team to decide what they want to do, for David Poile to decide what he wants to do with this team at the trade deadline and moving forward. He was on with Robbie and Rexford this morning to discuss where his mind is at this point. And we know we heard from Pierre LeBrun last week before the Predators took on Boston and said, per David Poile, that the three games, Boston, Florida, and Minnesota, were so key in David Poile's decision of what this team should do. Pierre LeBrun said if they get on a hot streak, then that'll change things, but they better get on a hot streak soon. Better do it now. The Predators haven't been on a hot streak since then. Go 1-2 in that stretch. They looked bad against Boston. They whooped that butt against Florida. They looked great against Florida. And then, you know, some just really bad luck at the end of the game against Minnesota. But nonetheless, that was a game that you needed to win, points that you needed to pick up, and you didn't. Go 1-2 in that stretch. So David Poile was on with Robbie and Rexford this morning to talk about where his mind is at in the decision-making process for the trade deadline. This was David Poile this morning.
Well, David, to that point, just have you, as a staff, as a front office, have you reached a decision on the path that you want to go, or do you guys still need more time to see how this unfolds over the next few games?
Like an injury, we're day to day. You know, we talk every day about different situations, and I certainly could be influenced by somebody. Having a desire to make a trade, whether we're talking about two different things, whether we're trading away a player or maybe we're acquiring a player. I think this is a great time of year in terms of, the dialogue between managers, because you find out a lot more about everybody's team. You find out a lot more about their individual players, who they really like, who they would trade. Again, it's when it happens, In terms of what we decide to do, it'll be probably pretty, I don't want to say pretty obvious, but, right now it's still up in the air. It's still a gray area. I am repeating again that I'm talking to lots of teams, and, you never know what's going to happen. All I know is that we've got to win a game tonight, and we've got a couple more games, in my opinion, that can get us back into this race. So, for example, Calgary is a team that's ahead of us that we have to catch. So they played Philadelphia, a non-playoff team, last night, and they lost at home. So, just looking at a lot of different things right now.
Okay, and that was David Poile and Robbie and Rexford this morning. And to be completely fair, I didn't expect David Poile to get up on Robbie and Rexford this morning and say, we're selling everything, nobody is safe. I didn't expect that. I expected a good bit of GM speak and kind of walking around maybe what the true intentions are. But David Poile mentions how these next few games are important. Well, the last three games were important.
Every game's important.
It is.
All 54 games they've played have been important. I think what I see from that is...
But it seems like he's continuing to push the bar down the line of the evaluation of this team and what they should do at the trade deadline. When the last three games were so key, and now the next five games are so key, it just continues to get pushed back.
Right. Now, I don't think anything's going to get done until right around the trade deadline. I think you take all the time that you have to make the decisions. And like he said at the end there, how the other teams do. But I mean, you're going to, let's be honest, you're going to need a little help from other teams in front of you faltering, and how that happens over the next couple of weeks is part of the evaluation. I think he's, with each passing week, you have a better idea of what your team is. And we, when you go 2-4 out of the break, he's been influenced by that. There's no question about it. And so this week, let's start with just tonight. I'm really curious to see what the team looks like after a really tough pill to swallow on Sunday, to fight back the way they did against the team that they really needed to beat and lose in the fashion they did. A really tough double bounce that, sometimes just happens. Sometimes you get one of those, sometimes you don't. And you know, you come back with a really tough feeling. So how does the team look tonight? Do they look inspired? Do they look like they still want to fight to get back in it? Because as has been pointing out, you've got three non-playoff teams that you play this week. You go 3-0, your record's going to look a little bit better. The feeling around the team's going to look a little bit better. And you take that into account. So it can change, but as you stack up periods of time where you're still behind, you do have to be realistic. So I think he's preparing for all these things, but I don't think you have to make your decision until March the 3rd. That's when the deadline is. And I think you prepare yourself and just see how it unfolds. But to me, the biggest question today is, what kind of team do you see today? Do you see a team that looks demoralized and looks like they're done? Or do you see a team that's still fighting? I think that's something that David Poile will be watching tonight.
Yeah, I guess.
If you're a GM, you have to have one viewpoint.
Exactly.
Right? If you're in that locker room, you got to have another viewpoint. Give me reasons. Give me reasons why you think you're still in this thing.
But I think
that's what you got to do.
I think what people don't understand, about players is we're going to continue to play hard. Most of us are. We're going to continue to play hard and go out there. If you are a competitor, a true competitor, you're going to play hard. But I think, there's sort of this misconception that the players don't know exactly what's in the locker room. And I think they do. But in knowing what's in the locker room, you're still going to go out and you're still going to put your best foot forward mm-hmm. as a competitor. But even as a competitor, you look around the room and you're like, man, we're not in a good space. This is not a good team. Yes, I'm going to continue to fight. Yes, I'm going to continue to go out there and do what I have to do. But realistically, if I'm being honest with myself, we're not a good team. And with the guys in this room, we're not going to be a good team unless attitudes change. And as we know, the older you get, the harder it is for you to change your attitude about something. If I've seen it in locker rooms, it's like no matter what's going on, that guy or those guys still have the attitude, whether it's an upbeat attitude. You know, some people get mad at guys because they're always energetic and upbeat and always looking for the positivity in something, even in a loss. People get mad at, oh, he doesn't care. Well, no, he does care. You're not going to change who he is or who she is as a person. Win or lose, they're going to be the same person. On the other hand, you have people that are not as optimistic, no matter if they win or lose. I think in locker rooms, guys know. Just like guys know who are players and who's not, and it takes a little bit longer for the GM and the head coach to figure it out, walk into those locker rooms, ask those leaders on the team, who are guys that you can depend on, like,
yeah,
anonymously? Who are guys you can depend on?
Who do you want in the trenches with you?
And they will tell you. They will tell you. And I think sometimes GM and head coaches look at it a little bit different. Players look at it from it's a matter of fact with them. With players, it's matter of fact. It's black and white. Either you're good or you're not. Either you can help us or you can't. GMs have to think a little bit different.
It's the business side.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's an investment, too.
Yeah.
Me as a player, I don't have an investment in you.
Right.
I don't pay you. Only thing I know is, are you helping the team? Can you play? Yeah. All right. We're good. Are you not helping the team? Can you not play? We don't want that guy. That's how players look at it. We look at it black and white. We may be friends. I may love you. But if you can't play, you can't play. Head coaches and GMs, they got to think about it a little bit different. And I get that. So whether they win this game or not, I hope they do win. And I hope they win the next game.
They need to win.
Yes, they need to win. But I'm looking at this team just as a former athlete, as a competitor. I don't know a lot about hockey. But one thing I do know is I can see a good team and a not a good team. And this team right now, as I've said about the Tennessee Titans, they are not a good team right now. And if it doesn't change, then changes need to be made.
Yeah. And you have five more games before you have the ability to make some changes if that's what you want to do as the GM. And by the same token, mm-hmm. the players have five games to prove that, look, we at least want to stand pat. They pretty much said. I mean, David Poile has gone on the record. They're not going to add, mm-hmm. right? Which is absolutely the right thing to do with
totally.
Where the team is, right now. You don't want to mortgage the future. You've got a pretty good farm system that you're brewing. You know, there's some hope there. You're not going to mess with that. So I think best case, if you're in that locker room, you don't want them to dismantle the team. And even if you wanted to dismantle, as we've talked about around the league, like the Vancouver Canucks tonight, they would like to dismantle even more than they have. Mm-hmm. They've got some contracts that are making it very difficult. Their salary cap strapped. It's making it difficult to maneuver the way they would like to. They, you know, they're kind of stuck. And I think you would say it's the same thing about Nashville's roster to a degree. St. Louis was in a different spot, for example. They've traded four guys.
Yep.
But all of them were unrestricted free agents at the end of the year. It's easier to move those guys than it is a player with 2 or 3 years left on an existing contract, right? Or a guy that's a little bit overpaid for what he's got, for what he's doing. I mean, the different guys have different trade values. And that's where I think David Poile is struggling a little bit. So I think he's weighing to see what value some of his guys have. And look, if they go 0-5, then you have your answer. It's pretty easy. But just wait. There's no rush to be able to say or to need to say we're sellers. He knows if they go 1-4 or 0-5, he's got to do his job. He's got to see what kind of value is out there to sell at the deadline. But he wants to be fair to his team and say, okay, let's see what you got. You got three teams that you can beat this week. Give me 6 points, and then, you know, we'll reconsider a little bit if that we need to. He just mentioned it. Calgary just missed a big opportunity to beat a bad team last night. Not a bad team, but, you know, a non-playoff team in Philadelphia. They got beat. You know, they're flawed. Minnesota is a flawed team. They got issues.
Yeah.
You know, they're not perfect, right? They're not a powerhouse. But they got the better of the Predators the other day. They got a cushion. So they don't have to win as many games down the stretch. But Nashville has played less games than anybody in the Western Conference. So they do have that going for them. But if they're a non-playoff team, they won't win enough games to get there. You know what I mean? It's like you are who you are. You got to prove that you're better than you have shown. And the only thing you can do is go out this week and play better.
And so that's what I want to get into coming up next, is over these next 5 games, what can the Predators prove? And what can change over these next 5 games? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Willie Demas, 1025-1063, The Game.
You mentioned, you know, maybe someone might want to be traded. I mean, have you thought about that just in terms of what a rebuild might look like and how it might affect some of the veterans?
I have, and I've talked to, you know, as the years got along, in terms of, I would say, discussing things with more veteran players, where we stand. Some of, you know, similar questions that you're asking me right now. I mean, it's got to change. We have to find a way to be a little bit better. So, like we've had in many of these conversations this year. Last year, 9 players had career years. This year, we have 0 players having career years. And, you know, I guess when you look over the course of somebody's career, that happens. You know, I guess we were fortunate, if you will, last year that we had 9 players that did that. Maybe we're very unlucky this year that we have nobody that's having a good year. And I think we have, you know, some really good players that you know, could be playing better, should be playing better. And, again, that weighs into the whole decision about what we do, you know, moving forward. To you use your word, you know, rebuild, I prefer the word like maybe a little bit of a reset. You know, maybe there's a middle ground into, you know, all this that we might do or not do. But, you know, we have to play this out. We got to see how we do tonight. And then we're sort of living, you know, day to day as we play the games and as we talk to people and we make decisions.
There you go. That was David Poile, Predators general manager, on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. Caroline Willie Demas here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Predators taking on the Vancouver Canucks tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. We'll have pregame at 6 o'clock on 1025-1063, The Game. We were discussing before the break, over the next 5 games, what can change? With the way that I look at it, over the next 5 games, the Predators are taking on Vancouver tonight. You go on the road, take on Arizona and San Jose, and then Arizona. So look at those 3 games. Those are 3 teams that have got Cabo and Connor Bedard in the brain. And those are teams that absolutely the Predators should beat. So to me, those three games, if the Predators do go 3-0 in that three-game stretch, then you've got Pittsburgh and Florida, two teams that are kind of in a similar spot of right on the fringe of a playoff team, of making the playoffs. I look at those three games, and you should win those games. Those are teams that are looking for the Connor Bedard sweepstakes. Those are three teams that have been struggling. So if you
beat
the crazy thing about it is it doesn't make me feel any better about this team getting to compete in the playoffs.
Right.
I know it sets you up for a better position in the playoffs, but you beat those teams, good, you should. But those aren't going to be the teams that you're playing in the playoffs.
I'm also sitting there looking at those three teams saying, okay, Arizona 5-1-4 in their last 10. I mean, they still are winning some games. So it will be a test to beat those teams for sure. It's not a given that you beat all three of those teams. And so I would put stock if Nashville plays well enough and goes 3-0 in those teams and then comes back and plays a Pittsburgh team who's on the bubble, kind of like Florida was the other day. I mean, that would mean something to me. This is just how I feel about it. I thought it was interesting to hear David Poile talking about how he sort of bounced it off of some players. You can tell he's sort of setting the table. If we do want to move some guys, if we are going to reset, as he used, you know, would you be more interested in being traded, or would you, you know, want to stay and stick it out? I think it's interesting that he mentioned that, right? That means he's sort of planting the seed. And so how do you take that as a player? He's like, wait a minute. I didn't come here to be in a rebuild, or, you know, I don't want to go through a reset. I want to be on a good team. So does that motivate you to go play better tonight or not? So the answer to your question is I do think it means something how they do in the last five games. And like I said, if they go 0-5, it's a pretty easy decision. Even if they had gone 3-2-1, in the six games instead of 2-4. You know, that's not a huge difference, but that would have you feeling a little bit better than you do. So I do think how you do week to week, how you feel week to week is a natural seesaw that does happen around the league.
But I think if you're trying to come up with what you want to do with this franchise moving forward, those are really big decisions. Those are potentially expensive decisions.
For example, what are you saying?
Selling at the trade deadline.
All right, like, for example, who?
Anyone. I would say anyone at this point. If you are wanting to make a pivot, if you're wanting to make big changes to this franchise, which I think this team needs to do, I would pick up the phone about anyone. I would be interested in trading anyone and really kind of pivoting where this organization is going.
I think there will be two guys that I'm not killed going away. Well, maybe three. That's Soros, Yossi, and Forsberg. Those are probably three guys. And those are, oh, I get it.
Yossi and Forsberg have no trade.
Yeah,
clause.
So those guys can't move. Glass is probably another one because he's a young guy. Tomasino, you still don't know what you got in him. Yeah. Another young guy. So
I would say the young guys are guys that you want to keep because they're inexpensive.
Exactly.
You want to see if they can blossom.
But somebody like a Duchesne or Johansson, if – I'm fielding calls. If y'all want, let me know what y'all want.
Oh, absolutely. I think they've been fielding calls for three years on those guys. Really, for the most part.
If you're looking at this team, again, the next 3 to 5 games, and you've already threw out the names, teams that are struggling. Let's just say the next three, teams that are struggling. Even if you beat those teams, that doesn't tell me anything about the team because you beat the teams you were supposed to beat because they were worse than you. So you beat them. I get it. But then I want to look at, like, the whole season up until this point. What have you been the whole season up until this point?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You've been a okay team.
You can't convince yourself that there's false hope, but there's other variables too. What if Calgary – what if you win 3 in a row, but Minnesota wins 3 in a row, and you haven't cut into their lead at all? You got to account for that. If you win 3 in a row and they lose 3 in a row, then you're like,
but that still doesn't change who your team is.
No, but I think your goal to set out it was also, look, anything can happen if you get to the playoffs. If you're not going to make the playoffs, then you have to make sure that you have looked under every stone and said, is there a way to improve our team for the long haul if we're not going to make the playoffs?
Okay, so
but all of a sudden, if your math gets better and it changes a lot, which it can, and it's what's the probability of that? Probably not real high, right? But if the probability changes because you're hot and the other team falls, then you do have to take a look at that, because when you get into the playoffs, things can happen. Mm-hmm. And they were the last seed in 2017 and it went all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. I don't think anybody – there was not a single person that picked them to beat Chicago in that playoff series. You still have a third of the season left.
But I think
the team was different.
I think the team back then, it was different. The leadership was different. I think in their minds, they believe they can beat Chicago because Chicago was at a different place than them. Chicago was a little bit older than they were, and they did exactly what they were supposed to do. In this situation, it's sort of like, to me, it's like, and this may be the wrong analogy of some sort, but it's like a boxer. Say you have your top 20 and your boxer's around, 12, 13, and he's fighting everybody underneath him and he's beating them. But the trainer knows that his kid ain't ready for what's above him. Yeah, and everybody's clamoring, oh, he's beating this guy. But the trainer is looking like he hadn't beat a top 10 guy. I'm not going to put him up there until he's ready. This is where I believe the Predators are. They've beaten all these lower teams. They've lost some too. But they've beaten these lower teams. They're not ready to consistently beat the teams that they need to beat in order to advance through the playoffs.
They haven't been that team. There's no question about it. But
so why would you think there's anything would be different in the playoffs?
Because anything can happen in the playoffs. And I think even if
How much can you rest your laurels on that every single year? Because I totally understand that sometimes you just get playoff magic. But with this team, we've seen what it is all season long. They have been consistently inconsistent all season long. And I have no reason to believe that would somehow change in the playoffs. Let's look at last year, for example. You could have made the same argument. Anything can happen if you get in the playoffs. They get in the playoffs and they get swept by the best team in hockey.
Without their goalie, who's their best player. I mean, that was
part of
it. But
with Juuse Saros in there, how different really would it have been?
They wouldn't
maybe
have played,
5 games?
They wouldn't have played the Avalanche. They would have played the Calgary Flames. That would have been a very different
Well, we
series.
Don't know if they would have won the last game of the season. We don't know if they would have won that game in order for them to play Calgary.
I can make a pretty good argument that if Juuse Saros hadn't gotten hurt, they would have won that night in the game that they were winning against the Flames, and that would have put them up against the Flames.
But they didn't.
But they didn't. He got hurt. And so every year is different. Look, I'm not gonna paint this rosy picture. They're big underdogs to even make the playoffs. And even if they make the playoffs, they still probably are looking to find ways to be better in the coming years. What is the best way to do that? I'm simply saying it's hard to make a lot of moves regardless because of the salary cap. Mm-hmm. So if there's not a lot of moves to be made, if you're not blown away with what the offers are at the trade deadline, if you have momentum going into the trade deadline, which they don't right now, but if they were to win 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 5 and maybe Minnesota and Calgary fall back a little bit, then I think you take a swing. You see what happens. It's better to make the playoffs than not make the playoffs, and it doesn't mean that you're still not trying to get better. You're not going to add, right? It's not like they're going to trade their first-round pick if they go 5-0 here. They're not going to do that.
David Poile did say in one of those clips on Robbie and Rex Road, he entertained the idea of an acquisition.
Right, a depth guy probably. They're not going to trade their first-round pick or a top prospect.
They won't
do it. No, they won't do it. He's never done that kind of thing before. I mean, when he says we're not a buyer, I think he almost never even says that, but he said that. So that would tell me that he's made up his mind there.
And let's continue the conversation on the other side, because there was something else that David Poile said. One of the differences between last season and this season, and I want to challenge how fair it is to expect that to happen year over year. We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your phones, I see those lining up. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. It's Caroline, really, DeMays, 1025-1063 The Game.
You mentioned, maybe someone might want to be traded. I mean, have you thought about that just in terms of what a rebuild might look like and how it might affect some of the veterans?
I have, and I've talked to, as the year's gone along in terms of, I would say, discussing things with more veteran players, where we stand. Some of it you know, similar questions that you're asking me right now. I mean, it's, you know, it's got to change. We have to find a way to be a little bit better. It's like we've had in many of these conversations this year. Last year, 9 players had career years. This year, we have 0 players having career years. And, you know, I guess when you look over the course of somebody's career, that happens. You know, I guess we were fortunate, if you will, last year that we had 9 players that did that. Maybe we're very unlucky this year that we have nobody that's having a good year. And I think we have, you know, some really good players that you know, could be playing better, should be playing better. And, again, that weighs into the whole decision about what we do, you know, moving forward. To you use your word, you know, rebuild, I prefer the word, like, maybe a little bit of a reset. You know, maybe there's a middle ground into, you know, all this that we might do or not do. But, you know, we have to play this out. We got to see how we do tonight. And then we're sort of living, you know, day to day as we play the games and as we talk to people and we make decisions.
There you go. That was General Manager David Poile this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. And there was one point in there that I've heard David Poile talk about frequently. And that's the fact that they had 9 players have career years last year versus this year. Those same players that had career years, Duchesne, Johansson, Jeannot, they're not playing to the same caliber that they did last year, which is a problem. Mm-hmm. And that's a reason why this team is struggling. And that's true. But how fair is it to expect career years from guys every single year? There's a reason why they are career years. You know, right. They're the best year of your career. And to expect that year over year and to point to that being the, you know, the main issue of this team, I don't think is necessarily fair. There's not fair expectations. And, yeah, you want your top paid guys, you know, your Duchesne, your Johansson, your Forsberg, so on and so forth. You need $8 million production out of those guys, and you're not getting them. But to expect career years year over year, I don't think is a very fair expectation.
I agree with that 100%. But I think if I were trying to answer that question, it is definitely not fair to say, hey, they had career years last year. Everybody should have a career year this year. I think his point was that you don't have anybody, whether you're talking about those guys or anybody else, that's having a career year. Like, who can you go from having a career year to a good year? Yes, that's what you would hope. And I think Yossi's having a good year. Mm-hmm. Forsberg, a pretty good year. But I think very few other guys, in my opinion, are even having a good year. I think UC Saros mm-hmm. is having a good year. You know, I think he was rising up, I think, since the All-Star break. Not, you know, we know that there's circumstances that affects a goalie's numbers, but I don't think he has been Superman. Since the All-Star, the bar is so high for UC Saros. So what I heard, because I saw a lot of people reacting to the interview this morning and saying he's saying the same things he said last week. Well, I sense a little different tone from last week to this week. I think right now he's in a position of, look, I'm leaning towards selling. It's pretty obvious. You got to show me why I shouldn't sell right now. That's what I'm seeing. But we just did an exercise as a group. Adam Vingan's mm-hmm. over here. And we were kind of bouncing
around. Adam Vingan will be on at 2 o'clock, by the way.
Little coming attractions there, hanging out with Jared. But I think you're really trying to figure out, you know, what are the options at the deadline, right? What can you really get something of value? Because you don't want to just give away players. You're not just trying to change for the sake of change. You're trying to make moves that improve you down the road. And that's what you have to assess with the market itself. What offers do you have? Mm-hmm. You can sit there and say, we're going to sell. But it's not very smart to just say, okay, we're going to give you this guy and give away that guy, and we're just going to change
everything. You don't
want to
sound desperate.
Right. I think so. I think you want to make solid, smart deals that down the road you're like, wow, that was a smart deal. Like, you know, back in the day, probably the most famous one where Martin Irat demanded a trade. The team at the time was, you know, in worse shape than this team was here, but they still mathematically had a chance. But they were like, well, let's hold off. And then the day of the deadline, Martin Irat said, yeah, I'd still like to get traded. And so he moved him to Washington for a guy named Philip Forsberg. And that turned things around down the road. It made them a worse team at the time, and the team collapsed. And they
it was a great
and
move.
It sped up the rebuild.
Yes.
Right? So if you have opportunities to make a deal like that,
you take
then
those
you absolutely take that opportunity. And we, yeah. You know, hindsight's 2020. You don't know at the day of the trade that that's what you've gotten. But if something like that presents itself, you got to be smart.
Of course you have to. I would love to know when he had this conversation with those individuals, those older guys. Was it before the All-Star break? Was it subsequently right after the All-Star break? Because that would tell me a lot. Because if he had it before the All-Star break, as they were going on the All-Star break, and then y'all came back and y'all played this way, oh, you didn't already answer my question. Mm-hmm. It's we need to start selling. I ain't buying a damn thing. We need to start selling off. If indeed you had that. Now, if he had that conversation, say, a couple of days ago with these guys, and now he want, that's why he's saying, well, these next, you know, five games, be right before the deadline, we're going to see where this team is really at. I can understand him. Now he's giving these guys, hey, listen, this is what I need to see in order for me not to make these catastrophic changes that will not help us this year. It may help us a couple years down the line, but y'all ain't going to see any of it because y'all are going to be gone. So I just need to know when he had that conversation because he said he had it. He had it. But if it was before the All-Star break and you've seen what we've seen the last, you know, five games or whatnot, then you've already answered his questions. But if he had it a couple of days ago, now he's waiting to see what your reaction is going to be on the ice. I can understand that. You know, in regards to, you know, the career years, it's not to, for me, every just about every good player has that one year where you say, wow, like, okay, there it is. But usually it's early on in their career. And you can kind of project over time how this person
the age of a player definitely has something to do with that.
Age and a play, like,
what are your prime years?
Like now you're basically more downhill than you are uphill and you have a career year. I'm thinking like, I know this ain't gonna happen next year. As much as I probably want it to happen, if I've looked at these players' career up until now, up until last year, and their career has been good to okay, and all of a sudden they have this one year, in my mind I'm thinking, I don't expect them to have a career year, but I expect their numbers to continue to increase from their from what their average is. If their average is you scoring 25 goals a year and you scored 46, then I expect you the next year with no coaching change, everything's really the same with the exception of a couple of guys here and there. I expect you, if it was at 40, I expect it to be somewhere in the 30s. I don't expect it to be 20 or in the teens. That tells me that you are more on a decline than anything, so I need to get rid of you.
Yeah, and you have a third of the season left. So is it possible, and let's flip it the other way. There are teams that have a poor first third of the season and then have a really good, you know, good two-thirds of the season or a really good first third of the season and then drop off in the last third. So there's a lot of change that can happen. So the real question is not just can they go 3-0 this week or can they go 4-1 in the five games before the trade deadline, but also you have to assess if guys – If my team starts playing well, can they go 18-7-3 in the last 28? Can they go 17-8-3?
But if you hope that, yourself, Willie, that might end up getting you fired.
Well, you got to make it honest. Happen. But that's why you have to be honest and realistic of what you're seeing, right?
And that's
why you can't be overly influenced by the loss on Sunday, and you can't be overly influenced by beating up on a team that maybe just doesn't bring much to the table, which might happen in one of these games here against a team that's not going anywhere, right? And so what is your true, honest assessment of what your team is and what's pie in the sky and what's real?
And that's the honest assessment that you have to ask yourself is, what have I seen from this team that might make me think or make me not think that this team can go 18-7-3 in the remaining games? I personally haven't seen enough from this team that would make me think that they can go on a heater like that. Let's continue on the other side. I see a bunch of your phones. We'll get to those coming up next. 615-737-1025. Again, the Predators in action tonight against the Vancouver Canucks. Caroline, Willie DeMays, 125-106.3 The Game.
So, David, you mentioned, you know, living day to day. I'm just curious, as you and your staff evaluate your team and where it's at, like how much weight do you put into, you know, matchup as against other playoff quality teams? Is it just purely where you're at based on the standings day to day? Like how do you best evaluate where your team is as you guys go through making these decisions?
Well, I'm well aware of where we are. I mean, we're not in the playoffs, and that's been an area that's been where we've been approximately the whole year, close but not quite there. I think in terms of who's the Stanley Cup favorites, I really believe that in the East you've got strong teams like Tampa Bay, Boston, the Rangers, Toronto. I actually feel that they're a little bit stronger right now than in the West. The West, Colorado, for example, is just ahead of us in the standings. They've had a tough year with injuries. I mean, I think making the playoffs on our side, I don't think there's any heavy favorite this year like there was last year with Colorado. So, you know, you could have, if you remember when we did go to the Stanley Cup Finals, we were the last team to make the playoffs. We were the 16th seed, if you will, and we went all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. So, you know, as bad as it might look today, you know, if we could still put something together, you just never know.
There you go. That's David Poile on Robbie and Rex Road. I want to break down the Predators matchup tonight, but before we do that, to the phones.
Yeah.
Let's get to the phones. Phone lines are by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Will from Nashville, Texan, says, I'm not suggesting this, but Willie, in your opinion, how likely would it be that maybe, say, a Yossi would waive the no-trade clause to the extent Poile signaled that he's interested in some sort of teardown?
Yossi?
Roman Yossi.
Oh, Yossi. Okay.
Roman Yossi, yeah.
Okay, because, yeah, Saros does not have a no-trade clause. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a whole other discussion. And I don't think there's no indication that they're even going down that road.
Right.
Although I know people have brought that up as a what if. Roman Yossi's got a lot of years left on his contract. He is still really, really good. It's not going to happen at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's not something you discuss now. Now, in the offseason, I think you know, depending on what happens between now and the end of the year, you try to look at any way that you could make your team better, and you gauge Roman Yossi. I know this. Roman Yossi, he plays hard every night. He is a great player. You can It's hard to replace a guy like that. You know, so I don't think he's the problem at all. So I don't think they're to that point right now. A couple of things that jumped out at me at the David Poile thing.
Mm-hmm.
He is right. If you look statistically, the East record against the West is very, very one-sided to the East. The Eastern teams have been better collectively than the West, which does definitely say, okay, in the playoffs, are you a huge underdog like you were last year against the Colorado? Probably not as much so, especially if you have UC Saros is a big part of this. Like, if you have a red-hot goalie, that's an equalizer, right? This is in the what-if. The other things that I would consider is, do you have three or four guys in Milwaukee right now that you'd like to take a look at? If you're not going to make the playoffs, would you want to take a look at some guys? I don't see guys right now that are ready for that right now. I still think they're another year or so. Like, for example, Luke Evangelista and Igor Afanasyev. Maybe you take a look at that. He hasn't had a huge year. You know, some of the other guys that I think are good prospects, some of them aren't even at Milwaukee yet. So I don't think that there's a bunch of guys you're like, man, I'd love to just, you know, let the kids play a little bit more. The guys that are in that boat are already here, like Tomasino, Glass, Novak, Parson, and, you know, those are guys that you're going to take a look at regardless. You know, they're part of the now right now. You know, and I think that's why when Forsberg is back, I think that's where Tomasino hopefully has played well enough to earn the chance to keep playing. That's something to keep your eye out for. So these are all things you consider. And then the biggest thing is, what are the offers you're getting? If you're in a position you're looking to sell, you're okay selling, are you getting an offer that you like? You know, and you're not just selling to sell. Like, is it a deal you think this is going to make us better down the road?
And I don't think that they're a player like Roman Yossi, you can't sell him just to sell him. You need overhaul in return. You need a plan.
Well, a player like him, I don't think he would leave. I think he's so entrenched. So dug in into this franchise that, I mean, if he does leave, it would probably be the latter part of his career.
How can you be better without him?
He wants to win one here.
Yeah.
So he's going to stay as long as he possibly can.
That's not a guy I'm looking to trade.
Predators in action tonight against Vancouver. It's a game that they got to win against a team that, frankly, they are better than. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. Max Herz will have the pregame show at 6 o'clock on 102.5, 106.3. The game, Stillman & Company, is up next. Adam Vingan, I know, is fired up and ready to go. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Peace.